Do you want to be happy today? The Bible says that a happy person finds wisdom and gets understanding, but it warns us that wisdom of this world is foolishness in God's sight. Elizabeth Elliot has spent decades helping women understand the wisdom of the Bible. Welcome to Gateway to Joy. Be challenged to live wisely as you hear once again from your friend, Elizabeth Elliot.
You are loved with an everlasting love. That's what the Bible says. And underneath are the everlasting arms. This is your friend, Elizabeth Elliot, completing my talks on transformation in Christ. The Bible tells us that we are to be transformed by the renewing of our minds. God wants us to be gradually transformed as we learn to walk with Him and live with Him. In 2 Corinthians 3:18, we read that we who with unveiled faces all reflect the Lord's glory are being transformed into His likeness with ever-increasing glory, which comes from the Lord, who is the Spirit. And Romans 8:29, for those God foreknew, He also predestined to be conformed to the likeness of His Son, that He might be the firstborn among many brothers. God wants you and me to be conformed or transformed into the likeness of His Son, that Jesus might be the firstborn among many brothers. Just think, you and I are considered His brothers and sisters. Isn't that amazing? And the previous verse tells us that everything that happens fits into a pattern for good to them that love God, to them that are called according to His purpose. And that purpose is transformation. He wants to make us over. He wants to make us new. He wants to deliver us from what my old Bible school teacher used to call our sad, sweet, stinking selves. Well, how about a letter from somebody who's very happy? I just read one yesterday from someone who had no sense of fulfillment, a poor, miserable person. Well, this is the opposite. This lady says, one day when I did get to listen, Elizabeth, you talked about singles and how some desire so strongly to be married. One asked if you thought God would give her a husband in answer to her prayers, and your answer was, not necessarily. I want to tell you what went through my mind as I listened. I thought of opportunities I had had to marry, and praised God that He had closed each of those doors, even though it was painful. Had I married when I wanted to, I'd have spoiled the marriage because I would have expected the marriage to make me happy. Marriage should be 100% giving of myself to make my partner happy. We married folks better pause and think about that. Here's a single woman who's got it right straight. Had I married when I wanted to, I'd have spoiled the marriage because I would have expected the marriage to make me happy. How many of us went into marriage imagining that that man would be able to make us happy? Well, doesn't take very long to find out that there isn't a human being on earth that can make us happy. And God said, you have hewed out broken cisterns that can hold no water. Come to the one who has the living water. She goes on to say, marriage should be 100% giving of myself to make my partner happy. That's absolutely right. I also thought of the wide variety of ministry opportunities the Lord has given me as a single missionary in Ethiopia. Were I married, there would have to be a lot of changes. Some ministries would have to be changed or eliminated, because marriage is taking on a ministry in relationship to my husband. So when I talk to younger singles, I'm 53 now, I tell them that lifestyle is a gift from God. Live to the full the lifestyle that He's given you now. Your marital status, married, divorced, widowed, single, what is your status? Live to the hilt. Live for God, here, now, in this state, without being miserable for the rest of your life because God didn't give you what you wanted. If God changes your marital status, this missionary goes on to say, you can't ever get back into this one again. You don't want to have regrets. I also tell you to think about the kind of man you'd like to marry and concentrate on becoming the kind of woman who would be attractive to that kind of man. As I did that, I knew I would have to get to know the Lord better, so that is what I started to do. I'm still learning. The better I grew to know Him, the more content I found myself becoming in my relationship with Him and in the lifestyle He's given me. For me, it was a gradual learning process. But our Lord is a patient teacher. He knows far better than I do what is best for me. I praise Him for giving me a single lifestyle and for giving me the privilege of serving Him as a medical missionary in Ethiopia. Grateful for your ministry in Christ, Sharon Smith. And she puts a parenthesis underneath it. I don't understand Ms. M.S. I am not ashamed to be Miss. Well, bravo, Sharon. I certainly don't like that Ms. thing either. When I write letters to people whose marital status I'm not familiar with, I just put Miss. And if they want me to put Mrs., then they would have to sign their name, at least with Mrs. in a parenthesis, so I would know. But otherwise, women are women, and there is no such thing in my vocabulary as a Ms. If we are going to be transformed into the image of Christ, we are going to have to get rid of self-preoccupation, self-broodings, self-interest. Turn our eyes to Jesus. Look full in His wonderful face. And the things of earth will grow strangely dim in the light of His glory and grace. To be right with God is to be right with the universe, one with the power, the love, the will of the mighty Father, the cherisher of joy, the Lord of laughter, whose are all glories, all hopes, who loves everything and hates nothing but selfishness, which He will not have in His kingdom. Have you thought of God as being the mighty Father, the cherisher of joy, the Lord of laughter? God loves laughter. He created us with the ability to laugh. Animals don't have it, do they? It's human beings who know how to laugh and cry. God did that for our joy. He is the cherisher of joy. My first husband, Jim Elliott, used to say that a man who is not yet sure of his God is afraid to laugh in His presence. A man who is not yet sure of his God is afraid to laugh in His presence. Come to Jesus. Let Him remold your mind from within. Let Him transform your life. Paul says in Romans, I urge you, brothers, in view of God's mercy, to offer your bodies as living sacrifices, holy and pleasing to God. This is your spiritual act of worship. Do not conform any longer to the pattern of this world, but be transformed by the renewing of your mind. Then you will be able to test and approve what God's will is, His good, pleasing, and perfect will. And in that verse, we're given the clue as to how we can discover the guidance of God. We have to start, first of all, as verse 1 tells us, to offer our bodies as living sacrifices. This is an act of spiritual worship. And then, step 2 is to be transformed by the renewing of your mind. And the best way to renew your mind is to read the Bible and pray and go to church. Those are the ways in which we can fend off all the nonsense that the world is dishing out to us so continuously and inescapably. We need to have the mind of Christ. We need to be conformed to His image, to learn to think as He thinks, to do as He does. And then Paul says, if you have given your body as a living sacrifice, if you stop conforming to the pattern of this world, then, he says, you will be able to test and approve what God's will is, his good, pleasing, and perfect will. Guidance is a big problem with many. Young people ask me so often, how can I know the will of God? How am I going to know it's not just my whims? How will God guide me? I give them these three steps. Number one, tell him you'll do anything he says. Number two, put yourself in communication with him by reading your Bible and praying. And number three, do what God has told you to do today. God is going to show you what he wants you to do today, and the doing of today's duties lays the groundwork for faithfulness in tomorrow's duties. Duty is not a word we like very much nowadays. Usually it involves something which cuts across our tastes and preferences. But the doing of the duty leads to joy. It can be your gateway to joy. Then Paul gets very practical, or as one old Southern preacher said, now I'm going to quit preaching and go to meddling. And this is what he says. Do not think of yourself more highly than you ought, but rather think of yourself with sober judgment, in accordance with the measure of faith God has given you. Another translation says, don't cherish inflated ideas of your own importance. Just as each of us has one body with many members, and these members do not all have the same function, so in Christ we who are many form one body, and each member belongs to all the others. Love must be sincere. Hate what is evil. Cling to what is good. Be devoted to one another in brotherly love. Honor one another above yourselves. Never be lacking in zeal, but keep your spiritual fervor, serving the Lord. Be joyful in hope, patient in affliction, faithful in prayer. May God transform our minds so that we have the mind of Christ. God bless you.
You've been listening to Gateway to Joy with Elizabeth Elliott, author of over 20 books, including Through Gates of Splendor and The Path of Loneliness, Finding Your Way Through the Wilderness to God. Join us next time for more encouragement and challenge from Elizabeth Elliott. This has been a production of the Bible Broadcasting Network.